Good morning, everybody. I have got a unique one today. You're not surprised, I'm sure. It just seems that everything I do is unique. As I was reading, as is the clergy's way that we do, it's our standard procedure, if you will. When you're scheduled to bring the word, you look over the readings. And in doing so, you pray and you ask God, what are you saying? And what message do you want me to convey? Well, it's my habit, I read everything. I read the collect, I read the readings, I read the psalm, I even read, you know, scriptures ahead of the readings and scriptures behind. I'm sure Ed and Lon and Father Scott do the same thing. Searching for, all along, asking God, what do you want to say? Now, there have been times, as you know, that I've stood before you, and it had nothing to do with that, but he had something to say, and so we're going to let him say it. Yeah. Well, today is unique, because he had me focus on the colic that Father Scott prayed this morning. And that's unique for me. I don't think I've ever, at least, I'm not going to use it as my text, but it is the springboard to what I believe God has laid on my heart for this morning. The colic that was read is, "Blessed Lord, who caused all scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen." He has given us Holy Scripture. He has given us His Word that we may hear them, so that they, meaning His words, may mark us, teach us in all good things. That's where we're going today. We're going to talk about the Word of the Lord. As Father Ed so eloquently told us Wednesday night, he has always found it best to start at the beginning. I won't repeat a lot of things that he said. You'll have to get the tape. But that's a true statement. It's always best to start at the beginning. So shall we? In the beginning was the Word. Hello? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. So whatever we're looking at today, it was there in the beginning. All you have to do is go to Genesis, the book of beginnings, to see how the Word operated. God spoke. When somebody speaks, they're saying words. God spoke and the earth came into existence. So we know the Word of God was not only from the very beginning, but we also know that the Word of God is powerful and is the force of creation. Follow me. We're going to get somewhere real fast this morning. Malachi, the first reading we heard today. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." in Malachi, a book of remembrance was written. Why? Well, first, in order to write something, guess what? You have to use words. You can't write without words. Even symbols, if you're writing with symbols, they have the equation of either letters that form words, but you know what I'm saying. You can't write something without words. So, in the Old Testament, we see time and time and time and time and time again where where the people of God wrote down the things that God was doing. Amen. To encourage the next generation and the generation after that, all the way to us to infinity. As long as man roams this earth, his word is on this earth. As we sang today, I had an advantage today. I knew what I was preaching on. All the stories told. How do we know about the stories? It's not just because we're hearing them. We know the stories because we have the unique ability to read them. In this word, which, by the way, was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Jesus that we worship is made known to us through these holy scriptures, which these words convey life. They convey healing. They convey hope. A hope everlasting. Amen. In the Psalms, we read, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations." His right hand. Who sits at the right hand of the Father? Ooh. And Jesus was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Come on, they all come together. I'm telling you, it's all here. Just had a unique way of finding it this time. Sounds like them guys knew what they were doing when they were putting this stuff in order. We're going to talk about that in a second. In our second reading, the very end, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing." First off, how do we know what well-doing is? What is good? The Word. The Word defines good. The Word tells us what is good. And we know that the Scripture teaches that this Word was given to us to mature us, to perfect us, to strengthen us. If my well-doing is within these guidelines, then I'm not going to grow weary because I'm not doing it of myself. I grow weary of something when I'm trying to handle it in my own strength. But when I try to handle it through the strength of the Lord and the promises of the Lord given to me in this word, I can handle it. I know this is true for my life, and I have proven it out in my years of ministry and counseling people, especially ministry people, people who are involved in ministry, generally in worship ministry. I just can't do anymore. I'm tired. I got nothing. I'm burned out. Good. Because you're supposed to be dead anyway. I've had to say this to me. It has had to be said to me. Because you run out of gas when you're the only one fueling your tank. you run to the end of yourself, and it is not pretty. The end of me, within all of who I am, is not pretty. But you find the word in me, and you found some good stuff.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you in this place that I've had the honor and the privilege to minister to pray over, to watch God move in your life, that wasn't in my strength. That was in the strength that the Lord has placed in me. And the way that He placed it in me is through His Word.
Yes.
Whew, that will preach, ladies and gentlemen. So now I'm going to go to preaching. This ain't teaching today. This is going to be preaching. There's a slight difference. How about you? Where do you find yourself in life right now? If you're like me, you have areas that are going extremely well. And you got other areas that, oh, please, God, help. That's life. It is what we call life. An imperfect life being lived in an imperfect world, being strengthened and guided by a perfect God. Wow, somebody write that down. That quote is that just came to me. It must have been, I hope. Okay, it's on the recording, good. Because I couldn't even repeat it again. It was just one of those things, come out of your mouth all of a sudden, you say, whoa, that was good. It's not on my notes. You can check my notes and see. Have you ever came to a place in your life that was just nothing but one big question mark? Of course you have. Of course you're in that place right now in one area of your life. Most of us are anyway.
Amen.
Let me tell you how it feels. My wife loves movies.
Amen.
And I have watched a lot of movies because they end up being my wife's favorite movies. So, hence, they are my movies, too. There was a movie in 2001 that was called The Last Night, starring a young Heath Ledger. I think that's why it was one of her favorite movies.
Night's Tale.
A Night's Tale. What did I call it? I did it again. The Night's Tale, starring Heath Ledger. It was funny because, well, Michelle has a story to tell about this. But one of my all-time favorite lines from a movie comes from this movie, and I believe kind of sums up how we can feel. Let's watch it. Ooh, what? He's high-tech today.
You have been weighed.
You have been measured.
And you absolutely
have been found wanting.
Welcome to the new world. God save you, if it is right that He should do so.
You have been tried, and you have been weighed on a scale. and you have been found wanting. There's something missing. God save you if it be His will. I got good news. It is God's will. It is God's word. How do I know it's His will? Says so in here. Which I hope we've already established. Oh, by the way, is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us? How do I grow the Jesus in me? Oh, Jesus lives in me. I've accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. He's come into my heart and lived. And lives. He lives in me. And then I just walk away. I got my ticket punched. Thank you. If I want Him to mature in me, I need to know more about Him, His ways, His will, how He handles things, what He thinks about things. Amen. This is my challenge to you today. If there's an area of your life that you have been found wanting, want no more. He will use this to speak to you. He will use it to speak to your situation. He will move mountains. He will raise the dead. He will bring forth life where there was no life. He'll make bones get up and walk. Because this word is true. I got a little more. Is that okay? God's word says that man should not live by bread alone. But by how? A few of them? A few of the words? Let's focus on one of those words. What? Every? Do you mean that I'm supposed to pay attention to all of them, not just the ones I like? Not just the ones that are convenient for me to win an argument of the day? Do you mean that I'm supposed to believe every word? That's what I'm supposed to get my substance from? If in fact, here's something that I've had to challenge myself with. If in fact, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, why do I spend more time planning menus, cooking dinner, and eating food than I do in His Word? Why? Well, I need it for substance. What, you need that for substance? Now, I'm not saying we all ought to be given 4 hours a day to study in. It wouldn't be bad if we had that kind of time, but we don't have that kind of time. But I promise you, there have been seasons in my life where the Word and my reading of it has come up wanting. I'm not the only one. Amen. I'm not the only one. Amen. We just got to be real with each other. Amen. But this is our words that will bring life. Yes, it does. That will bring hope. Amen. Yes, it does. That will bring healing. Amen. Yes, it does. We need to pay a little more attention to it. I'm convinced in my life today all technology has weakened my ability to sit before the Lord with His Word. Now look, I'm just saying for me. I have Bibles on my phone. I have them on my computer at home. I use them for resource. I use them for reference. I use them to craft this message. I was on my computer, searching things, looking up things, wanting to make sure I had this right, that right. And it is very convenient for me not to keep this in my car and then remind myself to bring it up to my house, to remind myself to bring it back in the car again. It is much more convenient for me just to open up my Bible study on my phone or my tablet or on my laptop. Do you know how many times I've been interrupted in that process? Ding, ding, you got mail. Guess I've never been interrupted when I'm reading it. This book's never interrupted me. In fact, what it's done is challenged me. It's convicted me. It has called me out and shined light in some dark places. There is something about the written word. And you're reading the page. I'm talking to me. But if you're struggling in that area, and you have given away 100% to technology, try it for a week. Just try it for a week and see if there's any difference in your life. Maybe there won't be. But it makes a difference in mine. I'm just telling you. There's something about reading it. I close my office door because I want to have good understanding. When I read the Bible, when I'm in my meditation, when I'm just trying to hear what God is saying, I read it out loud to myself. Because here's the next one. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Are you lacking in faith in an area? You can flex those faith muscles. You can get a good spiritual workout by hearing the Word of God. But not just what somebody else says it is. It's a good place to start because, you know, we all do it. You hear a message, you get convicted, you get curious, you get concerned, you get excited. Thank you, Father Lon. You forget it. But if that thing really plants a seed in you and it won't let you go, you'll go home, you'll look it up, and guess what? God will expand that message and apply it to your life. Why is this word so important? It is life. It's life abundantly. It's life eternal. But I want you to see this one. This one. Oh, do I want you to see this one? Verse 12. Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verse 12. But before I read it, for the times you're confused, from the times that you honestly approach a situation and you don't know what you're supposed to do, or better yet, you know what you want to do, but you know you're not supposed to. Or better yet, You could pick A or you could pick B. Which one's better? I don't know. Well, you know. How many times in your life have you found a dark place that something has been spoken over you, or a trait has been groomed into you that you know that God wants to, for lack of a better word, cut out, get rid of, perform surgery on, so it doesn't bother you anymore, so it doesn't vex you anymore, so it doesn't torment you anymore? We have the answer. Because not only is this the living word, it is also God's scalpel. What? Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 12. For the word of God, which we've already established what the word is, I'm not going to go back over that. I trust y'all got it. The word of God is living. It's alive. And active. Oh, the word of God is just not a noun. It's a verb. It's just not something you talk about. It's just not something that is talked about. It is something that is about doing. It's active and alive. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of man. What? This word judges me? Yes, it does. And it will, in the process of putting its finger on that thing, right? That, I'm just going to use you. That thing right there. I want it. I want it. But Lord, I don't know how. I'll do it. Just let me have it. Because my word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will bring freedom. There is, as we sang earlier, there is a place of freedom. There is a place of hope. There is a place of mercy. There is a place of forgiveness. You no longer have to live in the past. Amen. Why? Because the living word of God says, behold, all things are new. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just some message, not just some sermon, but the living word of God that is active. Hallelujah. Says, you are a new creation in Christ. You have been placed in high places with Him. You can walk boldly, knowing that you are a child of the living King. You can walk in victory. You can be healed. Not by your own strength, not by enough faith, but by His mercy and His grace. That's some good stuff, y'all. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying. I didn't write it. I know what was going on with me. And I know what God was saying to me. You want to walk in love? Find out about God's love. The last area that I know some of us have struggled in. Hearing the voice of God. Because trust me, most of us, if not all of us, sitting in this room today, if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God said, Greg, this is God, and I want you to do thus, thus, and thus. This man, he would hop up and he would go do it. As would all of us. If God, I mean, come on. It's happened two or three times in my life. I have literally heard an audible voice that could not be denied. Why do you think God had to go to such extreme measure to get my attention? Because I wasn't listening. And he really wanted me to do it. Well, let me see if I can scare him into it. But we can, now here, the reason why we're cautious is because we know that our heart is very deceitful. And our heart will compromise and approve things that God might necessarily not want us doing. So historically, we've done that in our life. We've missed God when we were convinced it was God. And we did things under the banner of God said, and it didn't quite pan out the way we heard God say it. And we realized at some later point in our life, that really wasn't God. But I honestly believed it was at the time. It sounds like I need to educate myself, mature myself, to truly know what God sounds like. This is what God sounds like. If I have enough of this in me, when he speaks, I will listen. I will hear him. There doesn't have to be confusion. There doesn't have to be an audible voice coming down from heaven. What there has to be in my personal life is a commitment to hearing his heart, his ways. By knowing his character. By knowing what he thinks about things. Amen. Not just by what I think he thinks. Amen. And certainly not by what I prefer that he thinks. Right. Okay. I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. What God is saying, what God is doing, what God wants. Where there's faith, there's God. Where there's healing, there's God. Where there's victory, there's God. Where there's strife, there is God. Where there is hunger, there is God. Where there is need, there is God. Where there are wars and rumors of wars, there is God. You get scared at the global climate of everything? You don't think the children of Israel were scared when they were walking into battle, going for sure defeat? And yet when they got there, the enemy had already killed themselves? What is he talking about? You better read it. It's in here. How many times has the Bible given us a story of someone who was walking to sure damnation, sure defeat, but God? We all need that in our life. You want to see the church grow? You want to see revival? Learn how to be instant, in season, and out of season. What does that mean? Well, if we're talking about seasons, the first thing I personally think about is I think about agriculture. I think about the springtime and a season of when the harvest is growing, and then a season when the harvest is ready to reap. But when I apply that template over it, be instant, in season, and out of season, it means I can bear fruit anytime God wants me to. Am I prepared? Am I prepared to give an answer to a lost and dying world, even if it's not convenient for me? Am I ready to speak the word of God into a circumstance, into a situation? Am I ready to bring life to someone, to present the gospel, to set them free from a bondage of eternal damnation? Am I ready? It's our call. It's what we're called to do. It's who we are. And by the way, it's why Jesus died on the cross. Lord God, Heavenly Father, give us the desire and the hunger to know you more, that we might walk rightly before you. That we might know you. And Lord God, when the day comes, that we will not be found wanting, but rather we would be found full. Full of you. Full of your mercy. Full of your love. Full of your grace. Full of your forgiveness. That we might bring forth that to others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.